This is an I Am Listening podcast.
I have been receiving reports from constituents who are either in hospital themselves or are caring for loved ones who are in hospital, that some of the washing arrangements are not as strong as they should be, and therefore there are possible personal hygiene and medical hygiene issues. The bottled water that are being distributed by the hospital isn't necessarily reaching all those who need it at the time they need it. And it is a concerning situation.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello again, and welcome to another roundup of what's happening in Kent's political world. I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group. There's been some significant drama at Canterbury City Council this week, with the coalition, which has run the authority since just after the last election in May 2023, falling apart. Back then, the Conservatives were turfed out, and the council went to no overall control, but with Labour by far the largest party. Shortly after that, Labour joined forces with the Lib Dems to form a coalition cabinet, which has run the council since. But this week, the Lib Dems dramatically pulled out of that coalition, citing unacceptable demands made by the Labour leadership. In messages seen exclusively by Kent Online from last Friday, Labour leader Councillor Alan Baldock set out a list of asks he wanted his Lib Dem deputy Mike Soule to share with his party. These included downsizing the planning committee, removing Lib Dem councillor Dan Smith as vice chairman, and, importantly, asking their members of the planning committee to abstain rather than vote against council-led planning applications or developments allocated in the local plan, making them more likely to pass. Now, planning committees are legally non-political, and their members must vote based on nothing except their interpretation of planning policy as it relates to the application in question. So an attempt to give political direction to members' votes is extremely serious and unusual. The Lib Dems called this demand incompatible with the proper and independent operation of the planning process and withdrew from the coalition as a result. Councillor Baldock has stressed that these were not demands or orders and that he too accepts the need for the planning committee to be politically independent. So what now? It leaves Canterbury City Council run by a Labour minority coalition, with Labour's Pip Hazelton assuming the deputy leadership vacated by Councillor Mike Soule. The other policy areas the Lib Dems were responsible for, like transport, property and IT, have been taken under the council leader's authority for now. The annual general meeting and mayor making of Canterbury City Council is set to take place next Wednesday, presenting a perfect chance for every party to make known their views on this sudden change. In Medway, independent councillor Chris Spalding, who represents the All Saints ward on the Hoo Peninsula, is to be the subject of an investigation into his conduct following communications with St Mary Hoo Parish Council. It stems from a planning approval granted by Medway Council back in October 2024 for 44 homes on land owned by the Fenbell Zoo. It was very controversial, and members of St Mary Hoo Parish Council resigned in protest against the decision. A meeting was arranged to reform it a little later, but after some council observers didn't arrive, it was postponed. However, at this meeting, a resident suggested a legal challenge to the approval and said he would put his own money on the line to fund it. He went away and coordinated with Councillor Spalding on it all, and the resident put up £4,200 to pay barristers to look into the possibility. When this was unsuccessful, a couple of months later, he asked the parish council, now successfully reformed, to reimburse him. Because it wasn't technically in existence when the legal challenge was suggested, the parish council was not obliged to refund the resident, but decided, as a gesture of goodwill, to repay the money in two instalments. The relationship between Councillor Spalding and St Mary Hoo Parish Council is not great, and the parish council actually voted no confidence in him last year, so he was not in attendance when the repayment was approved. He read it in the minutes and then contacted the chairperson to say he had also contributed a total of £1,400 to the legal challenge effort and thought he too should be reimbursed. However, he said he had organised for the work and so he should be paid the full £5,600, and he would then pay the £4,200 to the resident rather than the resident being paid directly. After being told the parish council had already arranged to repay the resident and was actually under no obligation to repay anyone anyway, Councillor Spalding wrote to the chairperson again, suggesting the resident had misled the parish council in order to financially gain or to financially harm him. Following this, the Parish Council Chairman, Nick Craddy, contacted Medway Council to ask for advice, and officers determined there was a perceived complaint against Councillor Spalding's conduct. At Councillor Conduct Committee on April the 15th, members decided to launch an investigation as they believed there were sufficient grounds. The committee will reconvene following the conclusion of the investigation to discuss its findings and decide if Councillor Spalding breached conduct rules. He previously was found to have breached them in August last year over his communications with a nursery owner in his ward, which Medway Council said was inappropriate. A major union warned this week that staff at Darent Valley Hospital in Dartford were struggling to maintain safe hygiene standards in impossible conditions after more than a week without water. The west block of the hospital, which is about half the site, has had a water safety notice in place since Tuesday of last week. The issue came about as a result of an internal fault in the hospital heating system, which led to the potential contamination of the hot and cold water network. It was declared a critical incident, and as you can imagine, it's been a tough time for patients and staff, with Unison claiming caterers, cleaners and housekeepers were battling to provide services due to the lack of functioning facilities. Here's what Dartford MP Jim Dixon had to say.
I have been receiving reports from constituents who are either in hospital themselves or are caring for loved ones who are in hospital that some of the washing arrangements are not as strong as they should be, and therefore there are possible personal hygiene and medical hygiene issues. The bottled water that are being distributed by the hospital isn't necessarily reaching all those who need it at the time they need it. And it is a concerning situation. And I've been very clear with the hospital in conversations I've had over the last couple of days that they absolutely must make sure that patient safety isn't compromised by what is a very difficult situation affecting at least half of the hospital and some of the key parts of what the hospital provides.
Indeed, you don't want to go into hospital and then end up being sick because of facilities within the hospital. This has been going on for quite a long time. Do you think they've reacted quickly enough to tackling the problem?
Well, as you may know, the problem is contamination of the water supply. The source of that contamination was dealt with quickly, and now they are waiting for clearance that none of the water supply, either for washing or for drinking, is still compromised. And that's what's taking time. And I'm very keen that they should get on with getting those results in, the analysis done, and they can start using the hospital water facilities as previously, as soon as possible. And that's the message I've been sending on behalf of my constituents to the leadership at Darent Valley.
And importantly, Jim, I guess what has to happen to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again in future?
Well, I've said to the leadership team there that after the immediate problems are managed and the water supply is back to normal, I want to understand what robust plans can be put into place to ensure that this doesn't happen again. I'd also like the team to take me through step by step exactly how this happened and what contingency and emergency plans they had in place to deal with a situation like this. They do assure me that a water outage is part of their emergency planning, so they've clearly allowed that to kick in. But I want to go through that and just make sure that everything is tight as it possibly can, so that if such a thing were to happen again, we really must make sure it doesn't. But if in the unlikely event it were to happen again, that the planning and the arrangements to ensure patient safety isn't compromised or as robust as they possibly can be.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
In other water news, one of the head honchos at South East Water quit, but not the person many MPs have been calling to step down. After accusations of repeated failures over its handling of several water outages, many people have been quite vocal over their desire to see the back of South East Water's chief executive David Hinton. Tunbridge Wells MP Mike Martin has been one of those people. Then, last week, a parliamentary committee took the unusual step of declaring no confidence in the firm's leadership in a damning 55-page report. Just hours before that report was published, South East Water announced the resignation of Chairman Chris Train, and with immediate effect. Here's Mike Martin.
Chris Train has done the right thing. I think for a long time, no one's taken any kind of accountability in South East Water. But what we need to see now, because it's not just at board level, it's also the CEO, Dave Hinton. What we need to see now is the investors step in and ensure an orderly transition of leadership. We really need to clear out all of them, I'm afraid.
Is it one down and a few more to go? You would like to see more announcements today, would you?
Well, absolutely. And I think also we don't want them all to just up sticks and leave. We need the investors to come in and get a grip of this and make sure that we actually have a plan to transition to new leadership to make sure that the customers right across the southeast, particularly my constituents in Tunbridge Wells, get the water that they deserve. I mean, we just want to turn on the taps and water to come out.
We mentioned when we spoke yesterday, it's pretty unprecedented for the EFRA to committee to say that they didn't believe in the leadership. Have you ever seen anything like that before?
No, and I think, you know, with these parliamentary committees, normally they're so carefully worded, you have to read between the lines and try and figure out what they're trying to say. But actually, this report yesterday, they said that South East Water leadership was an unaccountable clique, riddled with groupthink, making poor decisions and letting down their customers, failing in their basic legal duties. I mean, it could not have been more hard-hitting. It was devastating. And I think, you know, the game's up, really. The Drinking Water Inspectorate, Ofwat, the Secretary of State also said she's probably going to call in the investors, the Select Committee. I mean, everyone is saying the same thing. The leadership has to change.
Any idea where David Hinton is today? Do you think he's at his desk as normal?
Oh, well, we could play the game that we normally play when the water goes off, couldn't we? And play, where is Dave? I know that you, during the last crisis, tried to find him. Good luck. I support you. But he's probably gone to ground again.
You mentioned there about what happens next, because, you know, if there is a clear out of the top leadership team, who on earth is going to want to come in and take on South East Water? It must feel like a bit of a poison chalice, really.
Well, I think there are huge problems at the firm. And it's not just about getting the investment in, making sure that things like Pembrey Water Treatment Works in my constituency are up to scratch. It's also about changing the culture of the organisation so they're able to adequately assess risk and they're able to break out of that groupthink and make good decisions about where to lay their investment. And you know what? There are leaders who love taking on challenges like that. You know, if I was an MP, that's the sort of thing that I'd be like really interested in doing, right? It's a big people problem. It's a big challenge to change the culture, get the investment in, inspire investors to give you money to go and sort out the water network. People will take that on. There are good people who are able to do that. It's just that the current leadership are not leaders. They're sitting in positions of leadership and they're not leading, which is why they've got to go.
At the end of last week, Kent County Council made an announcement quite out of the blue, which took some of us by surprise. On the face of it, it was a standard announcement on an email press release, but some simple maths gave a sense of the size of what was in it. The council has awarded a 21-year contract to Ringway at a cost of around £50 million per year. So that is a £1 billion contract. While that might appear to be a staggering amount of money, it has to be said that it means that Ringway will look after more than 5,000 miles of road, verges, bridges and general maintenance, as well, of course, filling in the potholes. One assumes that KCC's Reform UK leadership will have had an eye on costs, as this is probably one of the hardest and most visible aspects of the council's business. You might sense that there is a but coming here, and you would be right. When Green Party councillor Stuart Jeffrey got to hear about the contract, he described it as bonkers. It wasn't the cost so much, but the fact that we have local government reorganisation coming up in the next few years, and this deal effectively ties all future authorities to this contract. For clarity, the 14 two-tier councils in Kent are set to abolish themselves in the next couple of years and will be replaced by a much smaller number of unitary authorities who will deal with everything under one roof. Councillor Jeffrey said that such a long contract could set up new unitaries to fail, asking, "How can they set up something they are not going to have to deliver on? It's bonkers. A five-year contract would have been much more tactically astute. This could be setting the new councils up to fail." However, Peter Osborne, KCC's Cabinet Member for Highways and Transport, said, "From today, our new highways contract with Ringway is live, providing a strong foundation of our long-term approach for looking after Kent's roads. Kent has one of the largest and busiest road networks in the country, and this new partnership puts us in a better position to keep people moving safely now and in the future." I guess for most of us, as long as our roads are safe and it isn't costing us the earth to pay for it, we'll probably be happy. That's it for another week. If you're after more, don't forget to head to our politics page at Kent Online. At the time of recording, some people in parts of Kent are still casting their votes in local elections. Local Democracy reporter Daniel Essam will be in Tunbridge Wells covering the count, and you can find out how the results went on our website. You can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters, and KMTV's politics show is every Friday at 5 p.m. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.